before I go into the theme for this year, I thought I wanted to just give a little bit of a background first, right? And I was thinking of this verse came to mind last night as I was just preparing. It's from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Okay, in Proverbs 19, 21, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. It says, and I'm reading from the NIV version, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, I think you would know by now that all of us are here this morning by the purpose of God. All of us are here in Grace City Church by the purpose and the will of God. We thought that we walked into this place, but the Lord was the one who paved the way for us into this place. He was the one who brought people into our lives. He was the one who brought our attention to this place. And He was the one who drawn our hearts into this place. That when we stepped into this place and we felt that we needed to stay on in this place, this is the doing of the Lord. Right? Right? Yes? You believe that? So, if we understand that, as what Pastor Jim has shared, that we are believers of the whole body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, but yet in the whole body of Christ, you know, as Paul the Apostle would use the analogy, you've got head, which is Christ Himself, you've got the right hand, you've got the left hand, you've got the right leg, the left leg, you've got the right ear and the left ear. How do you know which part of the body you belong to? Right? Are you the right ear or are you the left hand? Are you the little finger in there? It is the Lord who knows where He wants us to be at. And it is the Lord who leads us to where He wants us to be. Right? So it is not by coincidence that we are here in Grace City Church or in this Grace City family. And if we can understand that this is the doing of the Lord, then we can also understand why we have these themes that we go on year after year. When we have a theme for the year, it is not something that we talk about and we say that, hey, this is something that we're going to talk about this year just to rah-rah us along, you know, just to give us some form of a vague kind of a focus for the year and that we can talk about it. And every year we talk about one thing and then we talk about another thing, then we talk about another thing. No. It is very intentional, because when God brought us here together in this family, He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us here. And He is working out His purpose in you, and He's working out His purpose for others through you as well. You are not here by accident. And so the themes that we discern of the Lord year after year is part of this journey that God is bringing us along. Do you understand that? Yeah, it is not a random kind of a theme that we just conjure up in our office and, oh yeah, you know what, maybe we have not talked about this, let's talk about this. It is not random. It is very intentional. And that is what I want to encourage all of us for, so that whenever we talk about the theme and we want to talk about everything, we want everything to dovetail and that we journey together. And really, as Pastor Jim said earlier on, I mean, I know what he's trying to say. He said, you know, that I will lead the church. It's not me leading this church. I'm just a mouthpiece. It is the Lord who is leading us in this, so that we can be the body part that He has purposed for us to be. We can be effective. If we are the ear, we are effective as the ear. If we are the lips, we are effective as the lips. He is bringing us on this journey. And so I want to encourage you that even as we talk about the theme for this year, see yourself as a part of what God wants you to be at in this place, and what He wants to do in you and through you this year, right? It is something that may sound familiar to us. We may have heard about it about 5 years ago or 10 years or 15 years ago, but it is the Lord's doing, and He knows exactly what is it that we need at what point in time to focus on and the season that we are in as well. Amen? All right? Okay, so I've given you quite a long preamble so that you can understand that this is why we have Theme Sundays. All right? Now, I want to take us through the progression of themes that we had over the years. Okay, and I will start from 2022 because that was the year that I joined Grace City Church, that the Lord brought me here by grace as well. All right? So in 2022, our theme for the year then was His Heart and Our Heart, because we wanted to grow in our hearts to model after the heart of God. We wanted our hearts to be like the heart of God, to carry the things that are on His heart. That were, and so that was why we explored that theme, and we hopefully, prayerfully, would have caught His heart in 2022. And so in 2023, we said that, you know what, after you have caught the heart of the Lord, you need to translate that into action, right? You cannot just bury that in your heart. So you have to actually walk it out. So we explored the theme and we were on the journey of having His walk and our walk. We patterned our walk in this life after the walk of Christ. And then in 2024, we said that, you know what, if you want to walk like how Jesus walked, you actually have to be led by the Spirit. Because Jesus too was led by the Spirit, and we know that when after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Spirit was given to us to lead us. So what it is like to be led by the Spirit, and that's why our theme was to walk in the Spirit, right? And then in 2025, we say that, hey, you know, if we are going to be walking in the Spirit, guess what? It's going to take faith. Because every Spirit-led walk will require faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? And so that's why in 2025, we say, all right, we will talk about and we will explore walking by faith and not by sight. And that was what we did last year. You remember that was what we did last year? Yeah, if you already left your memories behind after the year crossed, no, I hope not, right? Walking by faith and not by sight. And then comes this year, 2026. 2026, our theme for the year would be abiding in the love of Christ. And our theme verse will be taken from 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the first half of verse 3, where it says, loving God means keeping His commandments. So now, if you would just allow me to have some time to unpack for us the theme for this year, all right? So that we can understand why we are embarking on this next step of our discipleship journey as a church, as a Grace City family. And what is it that we need to do in order to grow as a disciple of Christ, to grow as a disciple maker and as a child of God. So I've mentioned about two Sundays ago in the English service, over the course of 2025, we took a journey of exploring what it means to walk by faith. Faith that is established on who God is, faith that is established on what He has done, faith that is built upon the Word of God, and faith that is empowered by the Spirit who dwells within us. So to walk by faith means that we actually have to trust God, we have to be led by Him, we have to take each step with Him, even when we have not yet been able to see the outcome. We cannot yet see how it will eventually pan out. We need to trust Him. But other than trusting Him, we also need to respond positively to Him, right? The Lord says, come, or the Lord says, go. If we say, Lord, I trust you, but Lord, you go. Lord, I trust you, but Lord, send Him instead. Then that does not work, right? We can't walk by faith that way. So other than trusting the Lord, we need to respond to the Lord positively to His word and to His call. So therefore, to walk by faith means that we will also have to walk in obedience to God as well. Faith and obedience must go hand in hand. And we know from James chapter 2, verse 26, James the author wrote that faith without corresponding works, faith without obedient action is useless and is dead. So in other words, if we want to have a living faith, if we want to have a faith that is alive, then it has to be evidenced and it has to be characterized by obedience. And so that's why in 2026, our pastoral team has discerned that after talking about faith in 2025, we need to practice now putting our faith into action. And so 2026, we will be going deeper in the area of obedience. Obedience to God's word and to his commandments in conjunction with walking by faith. Remember, faith and obedience. But you see, if we were to focus solely, and if we were to focus only squarely on obedience or strict obedience to the commands of God, what that can eventually result in is a type of obedience that comes out from within us where we only obey out of duty. We only obey because we are obligated to, we are obliged to. And how many of you, if you have your parents and you have got your children, and when your children has to obey you to bring out the trash, or they have to obey you to wash your car, or they have to obey you to do the housework, they were like, oh, yes, no, okay, mom. Really, mom? Dad? No, okay, I'll just... Or would you like to your child to come up to you? Sure, mom, let me take the mop and let me mop the whole house. I'll do it three times over. Somebody say amen. Right? Or if you go to work, right, and you've got your workers, and every day when you look at their faces, they are doing what you have told them to do, but you see no joy on their face at all. Does that bring you any joy and delight? No, it doesn't, right? Right? So you want to have obedience that will have joy. So that, if we focus strictly only on obedience, you will end up becoming very mechanical in nature. And worse, if you focus squarely only on obedience, a lopsided balance on obedience, it would develop a legalistic and a perfectionist mindset. Oh, Jesus, you said that we can do this A, B, C. Okay, I will do A, B, C, but I will not do D, E, F because you did not say it. Or we will say, oh, Jesus, you say don't do X, Y, Z. Okay, I will do Q, R, S then. Legalistic mindset to the letter, but missing the big picture and missing the heart of the letter. And that was how it was with the Pharisees. They were right down to the dot, but they missed the heart of the letter. That kind of obedience is lifeless. It is annoying and is also delusional because you thought that you are on the right track, but actually you have missed the point and we are on the wrong track. Delusional. And so that's why, while we want to talk about obedience, we want to talk about obedience that is rooted in love. Rooted in the love of God and rooted in the love, our love for God. Right? It's a bit like your heart, right? So I'm not a doctor, I'm not great in science, but I know that your heart pumps out blood, right? Before it pumps out blood, you need to have blood in your heart, right? You need to have the love of God within. And then you can give out blood, and then you can give out love, right? And you need that on an ongoing basis. So obedience that is rooted in love. And it's only when we obey God out of love, out of His love for us and our love for Him, then we will derive much joy and delight and life in obeying and following Him. And we will not be obeying, we will not be obeying God's commands because we have to, but because we want to. His commands will not be burdensome. It will not be a drag. It will not be mechanical. And that's why in our theme verse, if you were to read our theme verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the second part of the verse actually says, and his loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. All right? Okay, so let's hold this verse there. Let's unpack this a little bit further. From this verse here that you see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, our obedience then is proof and it's evidence of our love for God. If we say that we love God, if we say that we love Jesus, then we should be walking in obedience to His word, right? In John chapter 14, verse 15, let me share with you what Jesus said to His disciples. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then a few verses down in verse 21, Jesus said this. Can you read with me the part that is in blue and underlined? Okay, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That's in verse 21. And then in verse 23, just two verses down, could you also read the part in blue for me? Right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And just so that we are clear, we are absolutely clear, Jesus now puts the same point in an opposite way in the next verse, in verse 24. What does he say in verse 24? Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So you see here that Jesus would repeat four times repeatedly in this short span of the passage here in chapter 14, the connection between love and obedience. If Jesus would repeat it four times through, it means that it's a very important truth. And it's absolutely important that we get this truth. If we truly love Jesus, then we will be obeying His commandments. If, however, we are not obeying His commandments, it then means that we do not actually love Him. Regardless of whether we would call ourselves a Christian or whether we would believe ourselves to be a Christian. Because our obedience to God is proof and evidence of our love for Him. So how do we know if we are a true follower of Jesus who will love Him truly? Examine ourselves. Ask ourselves and examine our lives. Are we walking in obedience to His word and to His commands? Because our acts of obedience, our fruits of obedience should be observable. Right? You cannot say that I love Jesus and I obey Him in my heart, but my outward life does not show it at all. It has to be observable. And Jesus has set the standard and the example, the model for us. We see in John chapter 14, verse 31 here, that in everything that Jesus did, in word and in deed, Jesus, who is the Son of God Himself, He demonstrated His love for God the Father by His unwavering obedience to the Father's commands. And if this was what and how Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord, would exemplify His love for His Father, that is through His obedience, then we, as followers of Jesus, if we say that we love God, we should likewise be walking evidently in obedience to His word and to His commands as well. Make sense? Our obedience is proof of our love for God. But it's important for us to remember that we are not obeying God in order to earn His love or to win over his love. No. Our obedience and love is meant to be our response to his love. We love God, and so we willingly obey him because he first loved us. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, in the next verse, but in a few verses before, we see that it was God who initiated and loved us first. God demonstrated his love for us, his divine, selfless, and sacrificial love for us by sending his only begotten Son to die for us and to atone not for his sins, but to atone for our sins. And it wasn't because of our obedience to him. It wasn't because of what we have done for him. But God the Father, in his love, in his mercy, and in his grace, he gave his Son to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were still far away from him, while we were still messed up, while we were still hopeless and condemned in our sins. And if it was not for the salvation plan of a merciful God, if it was not for the redemptive work of Christ Jesus, then you and I, not even the whole human race, would have any living hope for our eternal future. This is the awesome, the extravagant, the selfless, sacrificial love that God has already given us and given to this world before we knew him, and even though we did not deserve it. So the question is, how then are we to respond to this love that God has given us? First, we respond to God's saving grace and to his love by humbly acknowledging that we are indeed sinners and that we cannot help ourselves unto salvation. Then we would give ourselves and commit ourselves to living a life of repentance. Not a one-time act, not a one-time word of repentance, but living out a life of repentance, believing and following Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. And when we do that, God gives us then the right to become a child of God. We become a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That's what Pastor James shared earlier on in the communion. Jesus is our elder brother, becomes our elder brother. And when we become a child of God, a son or a daughter of God, we will enter into a special covenantal love that is reserved only for God's family, for his children. A covenantal love is like the closest example that we get here in human relationships is marriage. A love that is permanent, that is binding, a love that is intimate, a love that goes deep beyond any other kind of love or relationship. It's the closest and most lasting form of love. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So the covenantal, divine, agape love that God has for Jesus, his Son, is the same covenantal love that Jesus has for us who are children of God. And it is in this covenantal love with Jesus that we are called to abide in. So like a branch that abides in the vine of the plant, to abide in Christ's love means that we are to remain in Jesus. We are to be plugged in to him, receiving from him, drawing from him his love. replenishing ourselves, rejuvenating ourselves with His love. And then, from that wellspring of love within, we love God and we love others in the way that Jesus loves us. So our love for God and our love for others can only be sustained by His love for us. That's why we need to abide in Christ and in His love. You got it? Does the bunch of grapes there look juicy? It's the grape season now, right? How many of you have already made your trip to Swan Valley to buy your grapes, right? If you do not know where to go, I can tell you after the service where to go. Well, maybe I will not tell you. I was there already too many people going there anyway. Okay. But every time you eat the grapes during this season, remember, abide in Christ and in His love. So you will ask right now, if we are to abide in Christ and in His love, but how do we abide? How? Any of you have got this question? Only one. And the rest of you know the question, know the answer. Okay, or maybe I should then skip then. But for the sake of the one, I will share. Jesus gave the answer to this question in the next verse in John 15, verse 10. And He says, "If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." So in the same way that Jesus abides in the love of His Father, by being obedient to His Father's commands, we too will abide in Christ's love by being obedient to Christ's commands. And it's not a one-time type of obedience, a one-time effort, but we need to keep abiding by being obedient on an ongoing basis for all our lives. Because it's just like the branch that is in a plant, right? The branch does not draw the water from the plant only once, and that's it, right? If that happens, what will happen to the branch? It withers and dies after some time. So you would see that the call to abide, the call to remain in Him, it is not a passive act where we sit around and do nothing and think that it would just automatically happen. It is not a passive act. But abiding requires proactive action on our part. It requires intentionality on our part. Abiding requires us to have ongoing obedience to the commands of Jesus. But brothers and sisters, our love and our obedience to God is not only a response to His love, as I've mentioned earlier, it's also the wellspring by which we are able to love and obey God in an ongoing and ever-increasing manner. Let me explain. As we keep His commandments, not only will we abide in His love and in the Father's love, Jesus will manifest Himself to us. That's in John 14, 21. And not only that, both the Father and Jesus will make their dwelling with us. It means that they will take up residence with us. Their presence will be with us when we obey. So in other words, when we obey Jesus' command to love one another and to wash each other's feet in the family of God, we will receive a revelation of Jesus and we will be right at home, right in His presence with the Father and Jesus the Son. Of course, the Holy Spirit too. When we obey Jesus' command to forgive and not to take revenge on those who have wronged us, we then receive a revelation of Jesus and we will be within the assuring, comforting presence of the triune God. When we obey Jesus' command to be honoring to our parents, to be loving to our wives, to be submissive to our husbands, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to make disciples of all nations. When we choose to obey God despite of what we feel or despite of what we will have to go through, the cost that we will have to bear as a result of our obedience with Him, to Him, we will receive a revelation of who Jesus is, and we will encounter and experience the manifest presence of God Himself. And where the manifest presence of the Lord is, there is freedom from fear and freedom from bondage of sin. Where the manifest presence of the Lord is, there is healing and there is restoration of hearts and of lives. Where the manifest presence of the Lord is, there is fullness of joy. And this is why Jesus would subsequently say in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." With such a great love and fullness of joy, would we not all the more be willing and enthusiastic to follow and keep God's commands? Would we not too? If every time we follow God's commands, we obey His commands, we receive a revelation of who He is, and we receive the presence of the Lord, the tangible manifest presence of the Lord that fills our hearts with much joy and with much love, we will naturally want to obey Him more, right? It goes on as a cycle. I was having this chat and this conversation, a mini sermonette with my daughter last night over dinner, and we were talking about how parents, you know, would like to tell their children, don't do this, or maybe you try this way. We give a lot of advice, right? And the children, we, oh, yeah, okay, okay. Oh, no, he's at it again. Oh, no, she's at it. And we are like, you know, these are just like too much advice. I know. That's the favorite answer that our children like to give. I know. They will say it at least 3 times, right? But you see, for us parents, right, we have gone through life. We have experienced things in our life. We have experienced pain. We have experienced tears. We have experienced mistakes. We made mistakes. We have got regrets in our life. And it's in the vast experience of all of these experiences that we give our advice because we want the best for them so that they are able to enjoy life. They can enjoy, they can receive joy to the full. Isn't that right? Yes, parents? Okay, so all our teenagers and our young people, yeah, I promise you, if the Lord tarries 30 years from now, you'll be saying the same thing to your child. God is not a grumpy God who wants to kill our joy by making us follow His commandments. It is the opposite. Because when we follow God's commandments and when we follow His way, we will then experience true freedom, true love, true security, and true joy. Can you now see that God is the one who has given us the starting block, the starting capital of His love? And that love then evokes a response of love on our part and obedience to Him. And as we love and as we obey Him, we start to experience a continuous unraveling of God's immense love. We start to tap into His storehouse of joy, which will then leave us wanting to love Him more and obey Him more and more and more. And brothers and sisters, this is the type of relationship that God the Father wants with His children. He wants His children to see and to receive and to experience more and more of Himself and more and more of His infinite, endless, limitless love. God is not like us, where you meet the person once and you say, okay, I think I know enough of this guy. God is infinite. We have not even begun to scratch the surface of who he really is, of knowing who he really is. He unravels himself. So I hope by now you will see that the God who has called us to abide in his love has already set us up for a delightful and successful, joyous relationship with him. And what is it that we have to do? Abide and remain in his love by obeying his commandments. Now, I wonder how many of you were born in 1887. But how many of you would have heard of the hymn, Trust and Obey? Yeah? Okay. So we are quite young after all, right? Trust and obey. How does the hymn go? If you know, would you be able to sing it? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And then the chorus goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Isn't that the hymn? And so this is what we want to do for this year and for all our lives here. Abiding in the love of Christ by trusting and by obeying his words. So how will we as Grace City Family Church, how will we be taking this journey for 2026? We have seen earlier that Jesus has set the example for us of what it means and what it looks like to love his Father by living in obedience to his Father's commands. So for this year, our sermons will be based on two books, the Gospel of John and the book of James. Now in the Gospel of John, we will focus on the love between the Father and Jesus, his Son. We will focus on how Jesus lived in love and obedience to his Father. But we will also need to learn and to be refresh ourselves and to glean and to increase our revelation of who God truly is as revealed and as seen in Christ Jesus. So that will be our focus for the Gospel of John. And once we are done with the Gospel of John, we will proceed into the book of James. And in the book of James, by the grace of God, we will glean lessons on how to live our faith in practical obedience. How to be a doer of the word and not only a hearer of the word. So we will be kicking off first with the Gospel of John in the first week or first Sunday of March. And we will cover one chapter at a time. So I want to encourage you, now that you know that this is the plan, read up ahead. Spend time in the Word of God ahead. See what is it that God has prepared for you and come prepared each Sunday. All right? Now, the content and the discussions that we will have in our Sunday school, in our Salt and Light youth groups, in our powerhouse groups, which is our small connect groups, the discussions and the content there will be aligned with our theme for the year. And as much as possible, they will align with the Sunday sermons as well. And this is important because when we say that this is the journey, if you recall, I mentioned that God has brought us all here and he has given us a theme and a focus for each year. It means that he wants us to walk together as a family, as a church, right? So it means then that our Sunday sermons, our Sunday school, our youth, our powerhouse groups, our small groups must all walk together in the same direction in what God has for us, right? And if the Sunday school and our youths are covering this in the same direction, then we want to encourage parents at home in your conversations that we will be talking about the same thing as well. Then we will be able to walk together. All right? We can't be all doing different things at different goals, and then after that, we raise the flag and no one's going. And we wonder why is it that we are not making progress. Right? So we will all be walking together. Now, while I'm on the subject of the powerhouse group, I want to encourage you on one thing. The powerhouse group, the small group, is the place where we will share authentically with each other. We will share our personal reflections, our journey, and we will help one another to discern what God is saying to us individually. And that is usually done in light of the sermons that we have spoken about, right? So when we know that this is what we have shared on a Sunday in a powerhouse group, it's where we will reflect on it and we say that, yes, perhaps the Lord is showing this thing in my life that I need to work on or that I need to continue in, right? And then we will support one another in prayer as well as in practical ways on this journey. The powerhouse group is a place where we will practice and we will experience the love of God and the love of the church family at a more personal level. Now, you may tell me and say, hey, but we can journey together as a church, as a whole church. Yes, that's possible. But discipleship, growing as a disciple, happens most effectively in small groups. And so if you are not yet plugged into a powerhouse group, it is important that you plug yourself in and walk as a community together. Don't be like a lone ranging sheep that's walking on its own. Because a sheep that's walking on its own is always vulnerable and you'll be open to danger. Don't walk alone. Where did I hear that before? Liverpool? Anyway, so if you do not know which powerhouse group that you want to plug yourself into or which powerhouse group to join, please come and approach any of us pastors. We'll be happy to help you with that. Now, the other thing that we will be doing and that as we embark on this theme for the year is that we want to dedicate and consecrate ourselves to God over a time of fasting, 3 days. With a new year, a new theme for and a new focus that God has given us, we want to prepare ourselves so that we are ready, that we are attuned, we are aligned, and that we are in a posture to receive what God has for us, to see and to hear what He has for us, and to walk the journey with Him. Now, of course, this is for those who want to be serious in their relationship with Jesus. And I'm sure that all of us here this morning want to be serious in our relationship with Jesus. Now, the three-day fast will be held in the first week of March, okay? Because I know that for those of us who are Chinese, there's the Chinese Lunar New Year coming up. And so we will be merciful and we will wait for the Chinese New Year to take its course and then we will fast. And it's a good time to fast then after all the feasting, right? So 3 days of fast, more details will be shared on Sunday, 1st of March. Now, if you are not here on Sunday, 1st of March, I might guess why then. Okay, 1st of March. Now, before we end for this morning, it feels like evening already. I've spoken so much. I want us to just take some time right now to just think and to reflect over what we have just heard this morning. Abiding in the love of Christ by being obedient to His word. Where are we this morning in our love for God? How would we describe our love for God this morning? This morning as meaning at this point in time in our life. Will we say that our love for God is hot, that we are burning hot for Him? Will we say that our love for God is cold, is waxed cold? Will we say that our love for God is up and down? In other words, maybe lukewarm. How are we doing in our love for God? And I know that it's not possible for us to be living in perfect obedience to God's commands in this world. And God does not expect us to be in perfect obedience, although that is the standard for us. But can we at least say that we are growing in obedience to God? For those of us who have been Christians for some time now, can we say that we have been growing in obedience to God? And that we are actually making efforts and we are making progress in this area of our lives? Can we at least say that? But if we are struggling with keeping God's word, if we are struggling in our willingness to obey His word, then it might well be an indication of our relationship with Jesus. It tells us something about where we are. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, it is important for us to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God. Not with me, but to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God on where we are and where we want to be. This morning, by the virtue of fact that we are able to hear this word, hear this message, it means that God will not condemn us. Because if we are willing to walk in obedience and to walk deeper and to go further with Him in the area of obedience, God will give us the grace. He will give us the grace that we will need to make that progress in our walk with Him. Whether it be Him giving us a fresh encounter with His love, whether it be that we experience a greater measure of His love, whether it be us receiving a greater revelation of the person of Christ, that we may love Him and enjoy Him more and more. What would it be for you this year in 2026? What would it be for the year and the days and the months ahead that God has already provisioned for you? How will you take this? If I may, I want to strongly urge and encourage every one of us here. Let's journey together as a Grace City family. Let us abide in the love of Christ our Lord this year. Let us discover and let us receive the greater love and the greater joy that God has in store for us as we walk in obedience to His word. Amen. Would you join us on this? Would you join me on this journey? Because I too want to walk in greater obedience to the Lord as well. Would you bow your heads? I'd like to give you this time right now to make your own response to the Lord. How is your love for the Lord this morning? And are you growing in obedience to the Lord? And would you take this time now to tell the Lord what you would like to do with Him? How you would like it to be for you this year in 2026? Would you take this time to tell that to the Lord? It's just between you and God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us all here together by your act of love and by your sovereign will, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are committed to our walk, O Lord, and you are committed to our relationship with you. We thank you that you have given us so much love already. And yet, Lord, you want to give more and more of your love and your joy to us. We pray, O Father, even for this year, for this morning and for this year, Lord, would you revive our hearts and revive our love for you. Lord, we pray that you will light up a bigger and a greater fire in our hearts, Lord, that we may live our lives for you with renewed passion, with greater zeal and greater fervor. We ask, Lord, that you will help us by your Spirit to walk by faith and in obedience to all your words. Help us, Lord, to help others too, to encourage others, to inspire them to also walk in your ways and in your commands, because this is your great commission to us too. And we pray that as we do that, Lord, that, Lord, that you will give us the joy of discovering just how wide and how long and how high and how deep is your love towards us, and that we may live each day of our lives here in the fullness of your joy. Lord, this morning, once again, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves individually, our families, and our church to you. Would you come, Lord Jesus, lead us on this journey of greater love and obedience this year. And Father, may you glorify your Son, Jesus, in and through all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.